Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Writers Tour Shed. I'm your host, Richie Billing, and today we're talking all things romantasy. To help me cover this thriving subject, I'm delighted to be joined by editor Jenya de Lima and romantasy author Lara Buchheit. Welcome to the show, chaps.
Yeah, thanks for having
Hey.
Us.
Thank you very much for joining me. I mean, this is a really big subject. Romance as a whole, I think, is probably the most popular genre out of all of them right now. And when it comes to fantasy romance, I mean, it's thriving, particularly I find with like young adults. And it's particularly prevalent on social media platforms like TikTok, Instagram. And it just seems to be full of young people really excitedly sharing the favorite romance books and reviews. And I mean, even bookstores have like carved out sections for TikTok recommendations. It's been quite amazing. I mean, I've been querying agents as well. And mine's a bit of a high fantasy, but people only want romanticy. So it's just a bit of a, what do you do? Do I need to go and add more romance to the story, or what the hell? So this is what one of the kind of questions that we've had a lot of emails about. And that's why I'm so keen to speak with you two, because you're so experienced and knowledgeable in this area. I think that's a good place to start, is to learn a bit about your backgrounds and how you got into writing romanticy. So who would like to go first?
Go ahead, Jenya. This is your show.
So I'm an editor, and I have edited quite a bit of romanticy, and it covers all levels, well, various levels of what they call spice. So I do edit a lot of also clean, wholesome romanticy, which is a newer version of romanticy, where a lot of it did used to be on the more typical, you know, spicier side. And we're seeing some of that shift into its own subgenre. And it's one of my favorite genres of all to edit, just because I love both fantasy and romance. And so then being able to combine them is just sort of like, why would I say no?
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Lara?
So I'm Lara Buckeye, and I am a romanticy author, I would like to say. I think I am, at least in terms of like, I know the definition, we'll probably get into it, of romanticy is very like, everybody is just calls everything romanticy these days. But my books are very romance focused. It's usually the core of my plot and like what's driving my characters forward. And I released my debut last year. That was also a romanticy novel. It's called A Realm of Ash and Shadow. And my next release is coming out March 19th. And that is Our Immortal Hearts, which is also a romanticy book.
Oh, congratulations on the upcoming book.
Thank you.
Exciting. So what, I mean, you two are both drawn to this more than any other by the sounds of it. So what is it that appeals to you more than anything?
So when I first started out, I did read a lot of fantasy, and I think that's typical. And I mostly read a lot of YA fantasy. And then you started to see sort of this shift where the romance component became a really big part of it. And that gradually happened. And you brought up the social media part. And that's something I've seen even with the books that are chosen for book tours, to be in book boxes, that sort of thing. And so some of the same major book influencers you would have seen 5, 10 years ago pushing straight fantasy have now also shifted to romanticy. And I don't necessarily know if it's the trend so much and just picking up on that, and maybe I've also joined that bandwagon. But I also like having a happily ever after, and I like knowing that that's promised in the story.
Yeah. What about you, Lara?
Well, as a reader or as a writer?
Both.
Okay, well, as a reader, I love romanticy because it's like a great avenue to like escape. Not so much because, you know, it's a fantasy world, but because the romance, like, it just kind of takes you back to those days when you're like a teenager and you have your first crush and you're like kicking your feet when they're doing something cute. And like, I find myself doing that, like when I'm reading and like the book boyfriend is saying something, and I'm just like, oh God, I love this. So it's just like, it just fills me with so much joy. And as an author, I think I'm so drawn to romanticism because I didn't grow up seeing a lot of healthy relationships and seeing like I had like a lot of divorced couples in my family, and I'm just like, that's just not it for me. And so I really wanted to write relationships where they're full of romance, they like talk through their problems, that there's not like the third act breakup and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's just like a good way to manifest what I want in my own life with my husband.
That's a really interesting point when you say though that it, you've sort of seen you've been reading things and you haven't been able to relate to a lot of the stories that you are reading. And my parents were divorced as well, so that would be more appealing to me because it would be more relatable. So it's really amazing that you've chosen to write something that is more relevant to you. Yeah, so and important issues as well. So yeah, I'm that sounds brilliant. And one thing I was reading, if it's been covered a lot, this rise in romanticism in the media, especially in the UK. And I was reading The Guardian recently, and they were trying to get into the nuts and bolts of why it's so popular. And a lot of the things that you said, the escapism and the happily ever afters, and at the sort of heart of it all, it's this the stories are like ones of hope. Like you hope that you're gonna meet someone, that you hope you're gonna spend the rest of your lives together, and all them kind of things. And that's what these stories, I imagine, offer a lot of
And now he
readers, is
can be
that
like
sort
a fake king or something instead of some
of.
boring mortal.
Exactly, yeah, and that's the brilliant thing about mixing it up with fantasy. So is this quite has it been going this sort of fusion, is it more recent or has it been around a while? Can you tell us a bit about the history behind romanticism?
So I've read a lot of articles about this, and even if you go back and you read older fantasy novels, there is a romance aspect to so many of them. And I was thinking about common tropes that we see in romance that are then applied to romanticism. And one of them that is specific to romanticism is the idea of, again, because you could fall in love with someone like an elf or a fae and you're immortal. Well, what happens then when they outlive you? And we see a little bit of that, at least in the movie versions pushed upon us and with Lord of the Rings. So it's not as if that's been completely absent from fantasy. But I do think that it has picked up a lot of steam. And I think a lot of that is because of just what's been happening in our own world in the past few years, and that we do want to have that, like you were saying, that bit of hope in these books. So it was there, but it didn't always fully combine the romance aspect where it hit all those romance tropes and expectations.
Yeah. What do you think, Lara?
I think that fan like romanticy is becoming, well, is such like a huge thing right now, is because there's been a like a shift in like the bookish girlies and like just people who read these books, especially like the books that trend spicier or smuttier or whatever you want to say, is that it's more accepted for people to read these kinds of books with these like sexual elements, whereas like if these people were to be on Instagram saying that they're like watching porn, like you're gonna it's gonna be frowned upon. But if you're like,
Yeah.
no, I'm reading about this high lord plowing, this mortal girl, it's like, oh, okay, that's kind of hot. And
Yeah.
so I just think that it's like a liberation kind of factor as well, because it's like just something we can own. Like, oh yeah, guys, they can be like, yeah, I watch porn all the time. But then, like, us girlies, we can be like, oh yeah, we read our little smut books and we're happy about
Oh no, it's romance.
Do you think like books, well, probably 50 Shades of Grey is probably the one of the most famous. Do you think that sort of changed the game a bit? Because it, I mean, everyone was like neg given a lot of negative criticism to it and stuff like that, but it did sell a lot of books. A lot of people liked it. It was a bit of a phenomenon. I mean, do you think things like that have changed the acceptance of them kind of spicier books?
Maybe. I think part of it too, and this is just going to marketing studies where people tend to go to the same types of books over and over and over again. And so the one romanticy book that I think about all the time is the one that really opened the floodgates was A Court of Thorns and Roses, because now, of course, everything gets compared to it. And so many people want to mimic that style or that world building or that relationship. Something from it has inspired them to create their own work. But at the time, how many other options did you have after you read that series and you wanted more of that? And so I think that really helped too, where you just, and it's sort of like Harry Potter also. You just need that one book or that one series where people are like, okay, wow, I really love this and I want more like this.
Nice, yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? What do you think, Lara?
No, I absolutely agree with that. I definitely think that 50 Shades of Grey might have made it more mainstream. Because I remember like people were reading those books with no shame out in public. And I'm like, I know what you're reading and I'm here for it. But I think in the like romanticy aspect, I do think that it leans more into the escapism and like that hope and that desire that like for something more.
Yeah. I mean, we've mentioned a few phrases there. So someone who's not familiar with romanticy, they might not know what that means, but you can probably guess. But like smutty, spicy stories, that's probably like one end of the romanticy spectrum, would you say? Could you tell us a bit about like the different types of romanticy stories? Because I imagine you get the quite the tame rom-coms, like the sort of holiday films that you have on like those sort of 24-hour movie channels and stuff like that. And then I imagine you basically get like the porn. So can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, there is going to be a spectrum as far as what people are comfortable with reading, what people are comfortable with writing. So I do a lot, and this doesn't seem to be the predominant side of the spectrum, but there are some that are clean or what they call feel good, sweet, wholesome, or there might be a kiss or a little bit more than that, or it'll be fade to black even in some cases. And then others that are on the complete opposite side with everything in between. And then of course with YA romanticy, you're going to have a much more toned down version. Sometimes, not often anymore, but sometimes you won't even see them kiss so much as there's just that romantic interest is expressed. And then they acknowledge it at the end and they've come together as a couple, but you don't actually see any physical interaction in that way.
Interesting. What about you, Lara? What kind of, where do your stories fall on the spectrum?
Well, it's subjective. Like the spice meter, I know like people use like the little emojis that are like peppers. And so it's funny because with my debut, a lot of people would be like, oh, it's two peppers. And then some people would be like, it's three. And I'm like, okay. And then one person's like, it's one, so tame. And I'm like, okay, well, there's on-page sex. It's not tame. And then with Our Mortal Hearts, it is very spicy. So I would say that one is probably closer to four, in my opinion. I don't think it's like straight erotica, but there are like, there's plot. It's plot, a lot of plot and smut. But yeah, I would say it's somewhere in the middle. I think that I'm a comfortable three peppers.
Yeah. So you both mentioned a few interesting things there that can probably help people gauge where their sort of story is up to. So obviously the age of the audience that you're writing for, because you've got to be careful about them things if you're writing for YA, for example. And also what you said, Lara, that's just gone out of my head.
Oh, with like how many scenes there are and like if it's on page.
The sort of balance between the plot and the spicier side of things.
Yeah.
So that's probably a good little gauge to sort of keep in mind for people. What do you think? Do you reckon that'll help?
Yeah, I agree. And I do think there's, you know, the pepper thing too, because we do see that a lot in book reviews, which is also why then if you are a reader who's interested in romanticy, or maybe you're just getting into it and you sort of know where your own comfortable, you know, level with that is, find someone who enjoys the same books as you and see maybe what they're reading and what pepper level they apply to it and how they interpreted it. Because I've seen that too, where there can be a wild variation between whoever has read it and how they feel about it in terms of spice level.
I've also seen it referred to like the on-page steamier, spicier parts referred to like in regards to pepper level, like it'll be lower level if it's like happening, but it's like in their head. And it's more about like thoughts and feelings. And then it'll be on the heavier side of the peppers if it's like more in and out.
I see.
I don't know if that's a
Blow
good
by blow
description.
battle.
Yeah. And so I try to find like a nice blend of both feelings and in and out.
There are a
Sounds
lot of
nice, bro.
reviewers who will list their spiciness ratings. They'll include it even like in their link tree or whatever on their account. Here is how I denote each of these peppers, and here's how I define what they mean to me. So again, you can get a good idea of, well, is there two peppers my version of two peppers, or is this gonna be more like a 12 for me?
I know, and people, I've seen people use like the green, just regular pepper as like fade to black. And I'm like, what?
Oh, that sounds like it's a good thing to do. That's to spend a bit of research seeing what how people define these kind of things, because you want to make sure you meet people's expectations, don't you, when you're writing.
Yeah. I mean, even as an editor and having a pretty good idea of what's on the market and what's coming out, I did pick one up that someone said was a fairy tale retelling. And there wasn't really a lot of information provided past that. And it was my version of five peppers. So
Not really.
it was not what I expected at all.
Not much of a retelling as other things. So we mentioned before A Course of Thorns and Roses, as one of the sort of best examples of romanticism. Are there any other books that you'd both recommend? Maybe from books from different levels of the pepper spectrum to give people a bit of an idea.
So I'm most familiar with books I've edited just because that's where most of my reading takes place now. But if you're looking for something that's on the cleaner or more wholesome end, Stormy Black's series is really, really good and it's fun, but it's not like saccharine sweet or anything either. So it's very fun. And I really like Margaret Rogerson's books. Hers have all been very fun again, YA fantasy. So it tends to not be as spicy, but her world building is, I think it's beautifully done.
Nice. What about you there?
On the sweeter end, I would say Divine Rivals. There is like one on-page scene, but it's not graphic. So I would say you're good. And then on the spicier end, I would say like literally anything adult by Scarlett St. Clair. Like A Touch of Darkness. I know that went like viral on TikTok and all the girlies were like eating it up. And it is very explicit. But then you have like authors like Jennifer L. Armentrout from Blood and Ash. I would say that leans more fantasy than romanticy, 'cause, but there is like on-page sex at the end. And then apparently the rest of the books just get progressively more spicy. I haven't read them, so I can't speak to that, but I know like people were eating that up as well. I'm trying to think of any other ones, but I don't know. There's
It's a
a
good little,
lot.
it's a good reading list for people there.
Yeah.
I mean, you say there like people eating things up, like things going viral. Is there any sort of key features of these books that make them go so viral and so popular, do you think?
I would say probably the tropes included. Like, I know a lot of viral books that I've seen are ones that feature tropes like touch her and you'll die, enemies to lovers. There's always like a morally gray love interest who will like burn the world for the main character. what else is there? People really like there's only like one horse and only one bed.
Right, which is so easy to do when they're stopping at inns and stuff along the way. Oh no.
Yeah. Makes the journey scenes a bit more interesting, though, I imagine.
Oh, and Fated Mates, that's a big one. Everybody loves Fated Mates.
Oh, nice. So, could
Yeah,
you, for
like the
anyone
new
who's not
Pokemon.
familiar with these tropes, could you give us a bit more information? So, fated mates, I imagine, two people meant to be together,
Yeah.
but something's
That was
going
pretty
to
much what it
stop
sounds
them
like.
from doing that, I imagine. Bit of a classic Romeo and Juliet vibe, I imagine.
Yeah, sometimes it's just like, all right, they're fated mates, but now they have to like join together to like beat this baddie.
Oh, nice. Enemies to lovers is one I've heard a lot of. Can you give us some
Yes.
examples of that one?
Of enemies to lovers.
Yeah, I can think of a lot in contemporary fiction just because it's usually they have something that they both want a lot of the time when they feel like they both cannot get it. So I guess in fantasy, you could use something like ascension to a throne or something, you know, like either I can have this position of power or you can. And so naturally, you assume that the other person is your enemy instead of trying to find a way to work around it. And then, of course, as you encounter them more and more, oh no, you fell in love. But there's usually that resistance to falling in love with that person as well, which is a big part of it. Because
Yeah.
I think it's important too to mention that with romanticism, since we're bringing in the romance genre, that we have to have that heavy character arc. It can't just be the fantasy world holding it all together. And that character arc is almost always going to be tied to whoever their love interest is. And great, here's a dog. And what it is about that love interest that is sparking these feelings inside of them and why it's bringing out something different in them.
Nice.
I know, I don't think there's any spice in it. I never finished the series. People will kill me if they find that out. But The Cruel Prince is apparently like god tier enemies to lovers.
Okay, I did love that one too. I've read
Yeah.
that series and loved it.
Okay. Another one would be Kingdom of the Wicked. That trilogy was enemies to lovers, in a sense. And I
Yeah.
think King of Battle and Blood was also enemies to lovers in a sense. Yeah, I think that's a good start. Yeah.
Nice. And you mentioned another one which sounded quite interesting. Touch me or I'll die kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about that one.
So basically it's the sense of somebody touches like or like assaults or this sounds so bad. Or like does something to the female main character and the male main character who's her love interest just goes like absolutely feral and like usually kills them or maims them in some kind of way.
Interesting.
Yeah, very broody alpha male.
Oh,
Yeah.
so it's like the protective elements kind of thing.
I think so.
Yeah. Interesting. It's yeah, there's a lot of like you say, yeah, you've got these sort of these tropes. I'm guessing they all carry certain expectations for readers. So you
Yeah.
can't deviate too much from them. But it's interesting when you start mixing the fantasy elements. Thank you very much for listening to today's show. This is just a very quick break to share some messages from our sponsors. This is a paid advertisement by Fictionary. Fictionary is a tool that offers writers a structured approach to editing. It was created by best-selling author Christina Stanley and was designed using her knowledge and insights. Let's face it, not many writers enjoy editing. It can be laborious, and with so much to analyze and consider, it can be tough to get right to. Fictionary seeks to tackle these problems. After you upload your manuscript and enter the details of your scenes and chapters and the nature of your book, it'll present you with graphics and overviews that analyze your story. It breaks down things like character arcs, story arcs, and it can measure the development of your story compared to what would be expected by other readers in the genre. Fictionary also offers the opportunity to get key developmental help with your stories, and this can help you adjust and tweak the structure so that it flows like a river. It takes you through a very simple process that guides you through the process of building your story up layer by layer. It can help beginner writers, and it can also help experienced writers too, which makes it a very unique and useful tool. I've used the tool myself, and I found the visual overviews and the analysis very helpful indeed. The more time you spend using the two, the more familiar you become with its analytical functions, and that will see you get the very, very best results. So if you're looking for more advanced support with your editing, but you don't quite have the budget for an editor, try Fictionary. It's free for 14 days, and you don't have to enter any credit card information to get that trial. And also, as a very special offer to listeners of the Fantasy Writers Toolshed, You can get 25% off the first 6 months of your monthly subscription or 6 months off the first year of your annual subscription. The code is FWT25, and you can head to fictionary.co/FWT to find out more. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Writers Toolshed. If you'd like to join our writing community on Discord and get access to fantasy writing classes and books on Patreon, check the links in the description. And if you don't want to miss any future episodes, be sure to follow or subscribe. And to support the show, leave a quick rating on Spotify or iTunes and share this episode on social media or with anyone who you think may be interested. Thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the show. So, that's a nice sort of segue into actually writing romantasy. And I think because there is, you're bringing two genres together, it's going to be a lot more complicated than people think. So, I mean, from your perspective of both editing and writing romantasy, what are your sort of views on the whole process?
Well, I think it brings opportunities, though, too, because you get to take some of these really well-known tropes and you get to have this entirely new, fresh perspective. And part of it is because you're bringing in all of these fantasy world-building elements or the tropes that you've seen in fantasy, and now we're going to overlay this romance trope on top of it. But I do think primarily, especially for writing or editing, you have to be incredibly familiar with both genres and the expectations of both genres, because you're balancing both of them now, and readers are going to expect to see both. They don't want to just see, I'm calling it romantasy, but there's no actual world building. It feels like the story is just taking place in Chicago, but people have magic for some reason. There has to be more than that. You have to really understand how to have a magic system incorporated into your story, what goes into explaining a magic system and making it feel like a natural piece. So all that really has to come together and feel seamless, but without sacrificing the romance part.
Nice. Lara, what do you think?
So for me, I just love putting romance like in a fantasy world. Like I can dream up like this fantasy world and then I'm like, all right, now I know what I want my like the world to be. And now I just need to figure out like what obstacles I'm going to put in the way for this couple. And then usually I just kind of tie that to the world building, but still also trying to tie it to like their character arc. Nice. For both of them. Well, in this most recent book, I have dual point of view for the first time ever. And so it's been very interesting to manage two character arcs and like the romance between them. But yeah, I definitely just like create the world and then I just do whatever I want.
I do find that with fantasy, a lot of people do tend to start with a setting. And I think it definitely helps because it's the job of the writer to create that unique world, isn't it? Or that unique environment. And then with it being romance, I'm guessing fantasy aside, the focus is on the characters, isn't it?
Yes. A plot is almost always secondary in romance of any kind. And so we see that a lot in romantasy too. I don't want to say always because it's not always the case, but the majority of them, yeah, the plot is going to be secondary too. Them falling in love and then accepting that they're in love. And then again, the happily ever after.
So Jenya, you obviously, you've been through a lot of these books and you've seen these character arcs develop and some, I imagine, have quite worked. So what kind of things have you recommended to writers to help them improve the character arcs and their romance stories?
A lot of it is going to come down to just the GMC, the goal motive conflict. And that's the same advice that I would give to anyone writing in almost any genre, but it's going to really, really heavily apply here, especially with the conflict in terms of them falling in love or them acknowledging that they're falling in love with this person. There has to be a really good reason that they're holding back from that. It can't just be, because I'm afraid of it or because I say so. It has to feel insurmountable in some way. And part of that's because with romance, especially, we know how the story is going to end. We know they're going to get together, but we need there to be some compelling reason to see why it seems like that might not happen so that we can see how they get over that.
Interesting. Lara, as the writer, how do you do that then?
How do I do that? Well, I hire an editor.
There you go.
No, I think I just go into it knowing where I like where the characters are starting and where I want them to end up. So like I always know like this is where they're at, this is their obstacle individually and then as a couple. And then this is where I want them to end up individually and as a couple. And I always try to mirror that to like the opening scene for whoever's point of view. And I think I do a pretty good job at it because Jenya actually commented on my thing. It was like, oh my God, you did a great job with this. So.
Yeah, I mean, one of the hardest things for me when it comes to characters is getting to really know them and understand them. Like, what are they afraid of? What motivates them? And when it comes to romance, I think it's something that we're all looking for in life. We're all looking for love, but we do have bad experiences which could shape how we approach things in the future, and sometimes the kind of things that we see like growing up, the examples that we see there can impact how we approach relationships down the line. So do you kind of go into these things when you're creating your characters and get really like into it on like a sociological and like a psychological level?
I think so. I had this book. It's like the character emotions, like thesaurus or something, where like I would go through like the character wounds that like each character has. And for my debut, A Realm of Ash and Shadow, Val, the main character, has was just like neglected from her father and like just shipped off to this like other realm. And so she really never had that like love because her mom was dead, like her dad didn't want her, and so she never let herself really form attachments because of that, because nobody wanted to be attached to her. And so that's reflected in like everything that she does. And she's very impulsive, she's stubborn, she like won't admit like her feelings. And so when she does start feeling an attachment to like the person she's bound to, she's like unsure and she's flighty and she's self-sabotaging, and it's just all stemming back to like that original wound of neglect and fear of loss.
Justin, what do you think, Jenny?
Yeah, I think that the psychological background is such an interesting component, but it's also necessary. And so for editing, my master's degree is in developmental psychology.
Oh,
So
nice.
it might seem like my careers are incredibly different, but really they're not. Because it's just like with real people, those past events and experiences are what shaped us and what led us to have a lot of the beliefs and the attitudes and behaviors that we have now. And so when we see the characters too, our readers want to understand why they're doing what they're doing at every single step. Because just like anything with character consistency, as soon as they act in a way that does not feel like that character, there needs to be a really good reason for it. And if you can't explain that, given this background that you set up for them, it's probably not going to work. And so that's why I think it's incredibly important to really have a solid grasp on who they are and what shaped them.
Yeah. I imagine these individual complexities, like resolving them, coming to terms with them. That is a big part of the story in these romance stories, because so often it's us that are the biggest obstacles in finding happiness and coming to terms with past experiences and whatnot. So yeah, it's the character development side, I imagine, is hugely important, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's vital. With you don't really have a solid romance if you're missing that.
Interesting. So
Yeah.
what would you recommend then, if someone's out there is listening and they feel like the character's quite flat, how would you recommend that they could improve things a little bit?
Well, one of the ideas I've seen is taking your character on a date and asking, you know, on a date. And asking them all those questions you would ask this person that you're on a date with, where you really want to get to know them. And you're sort of trying to suss out your relationship prospects with this person, but then imagining that you're the person with your character so that you can pull all that information out of them, or you can fill in those blanks yourself and see how they'd react, how they'd respond, why they would respond that way. I mean, you really have to think of them like a real person remove yourself from thinking about this as my character, because it's too easy to get trapped in that mindset of I have to come up with all this stuff. You have all that stuff in you to create this person. You just need to really give yourself full permission to do it and to strip off anything that's stopping you from doing it.
Nice. Lara, what do you think?
I think my biggest tip would be to give them a hobby. I almost always give them a hobby that is tied to one of their like biggest fears or their like one of their traits. And so, for example, in Our Mortal Hearts, Rory, she really loves flower pressing, and it's because, she likes preserving the beauty of something so it lives on forever when she's literally about to be sacrificed for this like ritual. And so like her whole hobby is preserving life when she's about to lose hers. And so I think that doing that kind of adds another layer of complexity when you actually make them a person, because if they have hobbies, then they're real.
Yeah.
And I saw on TikTok that a lot of people complain when the male love interest doesn't have a hobby outside of just obsessing over the female
Yeah.
love interest. So just give them a hobby and you will be okay.
That would
Yeah.
be a pretty big red flag in real life.
I know. You know, it is like what you do with all your time.
Stalk you.
Yeah.
Well, those are a different genre, Jenya.
Is that a trope, is it? Stalking romanticism.
They're the stalker romance.
Stalkers to
Yes.
lovers. Round them down
I might
eventually.
set that up as one, yeah.
Oh, nice. One thing I was going to ask you, it's pretty more from probably like an editing perspective. So if, for example, you've got a story and there is a romantic element, but it's not shining through enough, it's not really connecting with the readers. Do you have any sort of strategies, methods, or devices that you would turn to help bring that side to the fore a bit more?
Well, first, I would want to check with the author to make sure that they intend to have this in the romantic genre, because again, we can have that love interest component or a love story, but it's not necessarily going to be romantic. And so
Yeah.
sometimes they might just feel like, you know what, I don't really have that in me. When I see everything that has to go into it, I'm not really sure that I'm headed in that direction. So then we might not worry about it so much. But if I do talk to them and they want to see that it's going to be in the romantic genre, I tend to talk a lot about what's expected within a romance and then touching on a lot of those romance beats. So we need to see them meeting together. We need to see that initial attraction, even if it's attraction that they don't want to admit. The chemistry is going to be incredibly important, but it also cannot just be chemistry. So sometimes it's adding in those little moments
Yeah.
where we're really seeing them connect, because that's usually where that relationship starts to feel real. And like it's a relationship that you want to root for. It's not when they're making out against a brick wall or in the tavern with their one bed trope. It's when, he's like saddling her horse for her without asking,
Yeah.
or they're having a cute little domestic scene together where they're helping each other out in the kitchen or something. And it's just sort of like in real life too. When do you fall in love with someone? It is those little moments where they show respect and care for the other person that we pick up on it. So it's going to be the same way
Yeah.
within any romance type of book.
It's interesting that I always think it's the little things that make relationships, like the little thoughtful things. And I was reading a quote recently, and I thought it was an excellent sort of insight into how relationships develop. Because I don't know, I always thought that the sort of love at first sight thing was a bit of like Hollywood bullshit. But this sort of explanation is quite good. It's so you begin with the common interests. So, like you say, you've got hobbies that you might share interests in, something like that, or some kind of subject matter like sports or something. And then them common interests allow you to bond, and over time you sort of build the fondness for each other, and that fondness then can build to infatuation. And this is an important point: is if there's nothing to disturb the harmony, then the infatuation will become m more like devotion, and then eventually love. And the true test of love is personal sacrifice. I thought it was a really quite a sort of cutting definition of our relationships develop, but it makes sense that there's these sorts of stages. And when you think about like the common interests, then you could say them experiences that you mentioned, Jenny, and then to build further and not have any conflict in it to disrupt that love. I think that's where you can sort of really get into interesting territory by throwing a few spanners in
And they talk
the
about self-sacrifice, which is often what we see in romance with what they call the grand gesture,
works.
where one character goes to some really massive extreme in order to prove their love to the other person. So in, like typical rom-coms, it might be, I took a flight across the country to stop this person from taking this job. In romance, it might be something like, oh, the bad guy is about to kill so and so. I'm going to dive in front of them before their magic hits them. There's always that one, that major self-sacrificial moment, usually, that, comes out. But again, it's not going to have that same impact if we don't have all the little moments leading up to it.
Nice. I asked you anything?
I am obsessed with quiet moments, and I think they are what really just makes a story, because those are the things. And like when I say quiet moments, I mean the moments that you would think you'd have like art commissioned for, or that like people are gonna just take the time out of their day to like draw art for this because it like was just so sweet. And usually it is like those domestic moments or like just moments of kindness, like wound tending, or like the horse saddling one is a good one, Jenya. I'm gonna make a note of that.
Something
But
quite nurturing and caring.
yeah, just to show that there is that level of care and like a safe place to be.
Yeah, I think like if you're trying to get in the mindset of that character, that you're not thinking about yourself or anyone else, you're thinking only about that person. And yeah, I think yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Well, and they've shown too with romance, some of the studies that we tend to insert ourselves into the shoes of the main character. And so while it's nice when someone wants to come to our apartment with a boombox to declare their love and sing our favorite song, it's those little tiny moments of consideration and showing that they've listened to us and they understand us, where we have that, this is how I want to be treated. I want someone who loves me like this. And I think that's what those quiet moments do.
Nice.
I also there's one moment that like really stands out to me, and it was in one of the ACOTAR books, so A Court of Thorns and Roses. But it was when the main character Feyre was wearing the male love interest's like cardigan or sweater or something while she was painting, and I was just like, that is such a tender thing to do. Like, are you missing him so much? You just wore his sweater. And so like even that, it just like really stuck with me, and I was just like, wow.
Interesting. So I've got one more question for you. What advice would you have for anyone who's thinking about giving romance a go?
Read as much as you can, and that's my advice for everything, just because it helps you get an idea of what it's actually like, what you can expect from the genre, which helps you then understand what to include in your own book. But it also helps you see what works for you and what doesn't work for you. So maybe there's a trope you just really don't like that's prevalent throughout romantasy, and now you know to avoid that because you've seen book after book where it just did not click with you.
Nice, great bit of advice. What about you, Lara?
I'm gonna echo that. Just read far and wide. A lot of it you might not like, and that's okay. It's just finding like what works for you, what works for your own writing. It's just understanding reader expectations, and I feel like you can only do that once you are like an avid reader of the genre.
Yeah, get to know them pepper scores.
Go stalk some Bookstagrammers and look at their pepper score ratings, and then you'll know. Find out
Yeah.
what you're comfortable with.
Nice. Oh, it's been brilliant chatting with you both. I think we've covered the subject pretty comprehensively there, I have to say. I've learned loads. And I hope listening at home, you've learned something new there too. How's where's the best place to find out a bit more about you both? Jenny, do you want to go first?
Sure. So my website is just jenyaedits.com, and there is a contact me form there. You can see a sample of my portfolio. I also have events listed on there, not as updated as it could be. Where if you'd like to go see me speak or meet up with me somewhere, I love doing that. I love meeting everybody. I love talking about writing and publishing and editing all day long. And then I also am on the writing and editing podcast, and the link should be on my website.
Awesome. Put links for the
Awesome.
description there. Lara, how can we find more about you?
I also have a website. It's larabuckeye.com, but you could probably just contact me quicker on Instagram at Lara on Fire. I'm also on TikTok at Lara on Fire Writes. Oh, the kitty cat.
Cats just hopped up.
Oh. I have a few live events coming up this year that I'll be at. I'll be signing at Imaginarium Book Festival in June. I'll be at Fright Reads. And yeah, so I'll just be all over the place this year.
Oh, busy one for you. But we'll put the
Yeah.
links for everything in the description. So if anyone wants to
Also
check out the
be
books, yeah.
there.
There you go. Get down, check it out. Well, yeah, thank you very much again. It's been a lovely chatting with you both. And thank you at home for listening.